Well, good morning. Good to see you all today. Let's begin the service with prayer. Father, we thank you that we have gathered here today to honor you on this Lord's Day. And Lord, we just are so grateful that we know that whenever we come together, we can expect your presence. And Lord, we do covet that presence today and ask that you would speak to us and that what we do today would be a blessing to you as well, that we would minister to you. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Bob Shackleton's coming to lead us in worship. Let's open up our hearts and sing to the Lord this morning.
Onward, Christian soldiers. That's what we are, isn't it? 560. 560. Pastor gets by with pulling a funny once in a while. I thought I could. Della's staying out of sight, but she got the water.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banners go. Onward, Christian soldier, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Like a mighty army, who's the Church of God, brothers, we are treading where the saints have trod. We are not divided, all one body, we one in hope and doctrine, one in charity. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Crowns and thorns may perish, kingdoms rise and wane, but the Church of Jesus constant will remain. Gates of hell can never against that Church prevail. We have Christ's law promised, which can never fail. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Onward, then, ye people, join our happy throng. When we lost your voices in life's triumph song, glory, God, and honor unto Christ the King. This through countless ages, when heard angels sing. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before.
Number 541. 541. When the roll is called up yonder, there's going to be a great trumpet sound. When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, the time shall be no more, and the morning brings eternal light and fair.
we sure of that?
On that bright and cloud this morning, when the dead in Christ shall rise, and the glory of his resurrection share. When his chosen ones shall gather to their home beyond the skies, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there.
About an event that's about to happen. Sing it one more time with that in mind. When, not if, not maybe, when the roll is called up yonder, my determination, I'll be there. It shall surely come to pass. Number 484. You've heard about the dueling banjos. Now we got something else going. Duel on the piano. I loved it. Pentecostal power.
Lord, as come home at Pentecost, it's
Before thy throne we wait, thy promise we believe, and will not let thee go until the blessing we receive. Years ago, in old-time Pentecostal circles, they had what they called tarrying meetings. And the theme behind this word tarry, the reason for this tarry, is scripture that says tarry until you be endued with power from on high. Tarry. Here it says, not let you go until your blessing we receive. Let's approach him that way, expecting to receive a blessing, a touch, a move, a filling, a fulfillment. We want God in his fullness. Sing the chorus once more. Sing it once more. Concentrate on that theme, old time power.
They were in the upper chamber.
Just now, oh Lord, send the power.
sing it if nobody else does. About the power, the anointing, the touch of God. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place, and it seems like we're going to heaven. seems like we're getting ready. We don't have time for all this song. That clock will dictate to us, but that's fine. We'll sing a couple of verses of When We All Get to Heaven and sing it like you're departing.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing His mercy and His grace. In all that chance, bright and blessed, He'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be.
I had a different message prepared this morning, and God woke me up in the middle of the night one night and gave me a title for a sermon. And I began to work on it the next day, and I just felt God wanted me to preach this today. You know, I've been preaching pretty tough on responsibility and fulfilling responsibility. So today, this sermon is going to be more inspirational, and I trust that it will be an inspiration and a blessing to you. I'm taking my text from Isaiah chapter 37 and verse 28. It's just part of the verse, just the first part of the verse. I don't do that a lot, just pick part of a verse, but there's a part of this verse that stands alone. And I'd like us to consider that fact this morning. Isaiah chapter 37 and verse 28. In fact, this is the second time this verse is in the Bible. There it is used one other time, exactly the same way. But Isaiah chapter 37 and verse 28, the part that I would like to pick out of that verse, "But I know thy abode." But I know thy abode, or I know thy house. I know your address. Title of the message this morning, God Knows Your Address. Can we pray? Father, we ask your blessing upon your word today. And I pray, Lord, that it would be an inspiration and a comfort to all, but especially to some who might need to hear these words today. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. A couple of weeks ago, I was mowing the lawn out here in one of the village leaders stopped me and asked if I had any objection to changing the name of the street that our church and our house is on. And I asked him why they wanted to change the name of the street, and he said, well, there's a lot of confusion between Highway 12 and Old U.S. Highway 12, which is what the street is right out here. And I can go along with that because I've had people trying to find the church or the or our house and say we've got lost, we've got confusion over the Highway 12s. And he told me that about a year ago, the ambulance had a hard time finding somebody because of the confusion between the roads, Highway 12 and Old Highway 12. And I can understand their point. And so although it would be a hassle to change the name of the street and you got to let everybody know your new address, I'd rather change it than to have somebody die because the ambulance could not find their address where they live. You know, we have a lot of addresses nowadays. Personally, I have a post office box. I have a street address. You know, UPS won't deliver to a post office box. I have an email address and a web address. And all of it can get kind of confusing. But I'm glad that God knows my address. God knows where I live. And God doesn't need the internet or he doesn't need to hire a private investigator to find out where I live. And you know what? God knows your address too. God knows exactly where you live. Sometimes we get into situations and we wonder, does God even know where we are? I want you to know that God does know where you are. And I would like to encourage you in some of those situations today, some situations that you might find yourself in and be wondering, does God know where I am? Does God know my address? Yes, he is. And I would encourage you in these situations today. Number one, if you need to be saved, God knows your address. If you need to be born again, if you need to become a child of God, if you need to be converted, God knows your address. Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 5. Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 5. We have an illustration of this very point this morning. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. For today I must abide at thy house. There is a couple of things that the scripture points out about Zacchaeus, a couple of specifics that are named. Number one, he was short. He was so short that he couldn't see if he wasn't standing in front of the crowd when a parade went by. And that's what bothered him that day in Jericho. He wanted to see Jesus. He wanted to see Jesus as Jesus walked by, but he couldn't see over the crowd. So he climbed a tree, a sycamore tree. Zacchaeus was short, but he had an intense desire to see Jesus as Jesus went by. And so he went to great lengths, if you would pardon the pun this morning, to see Jesus. He climbed to great heights. Now, the other thing about Zacchaeus was that he was a tax collector. Now, there have been times in my life when I wished an IRS man would climb a tree. Just this past year, we had to file an appeal in order to get our earned income credit. They didn't want to give it to me this year. But we finally got it. And for Zacchaeus, climbing a tree was a physical picture of what was happening spiritually in his heart. Spiritually in his heart, he was climbing a tree. He had a great desire to meet God, to see Jesus. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. In other words, I say there, Zacchaeus, why don't you come down from that tree? Come on, because I'm heading for your house. If I'm going to your house, how am I going to get in if you're not there? And down came Zacchaeus as quick as he could from that tree. But I'm sure that before he came down, he must have looked down in disbelief. Because first of all, how did Jesus know he was up in that tree? I could just see him hanging onto that tree, peering down, looking for Jesus. And when Jesus called up to him, Zacchaeus, come down. He just about lost his grip on that limb he was holding on to. And down came Zacchaeus. How did Jesus know he was there? And what would Jesus want at his home? Down he came to find out. But when they got to that house, Zacchaeus' home, when they arrived at his address, a miracle took place. A miracle took place at that address. Luke chapter 19, verses 8 through 10, and it says, And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house. For as so much as he also is the son of Abraham, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. That day, Jesus, as he came to the address of Zacchaeus, he found a heart that was turned toward him, a heart that wanted to receive salvation. And in that home where Zacchaeus lived, Jesus Christ introduced himself and came into the heart and life of Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus was changed. We know that he was changed. There was repentance that took place on his part. There was a change in his life that took place. You know that repentance is necessary for salvation? Jesus said it, unless you repent, you shall likewise perish. There was repentance that took place, and then there was proof of this conversion. There was proof of this salvation because Zacchaeus wanted to make restitution. He wanted to make things right. If he had wronged anybody, he wanted to settle those accounts. He wanted to make things right. Suddenly, in the presence of Jesus Christ, Zacchaeus understood himself as God saw him. He saw himself through new eyes. He saw himself through the eyes of God, and the little publican didn't like what he saw. He instantly realized he needed something. He needed salvation. He needed Jesus Christ. And whatever it would take, Zacchaeus purposed in his heart and confessed before Jesus that he would make it right. And I want you to know today that if you are here and you need salvation, if you need a conversion experience, Jesus knows your address. He will be willing to introduce himself to you and to come into your life and to come into your heart and to change you and make you a brand new creation. The great thing about Jesus is that if you are seeking him, he will find you. He has come to seek and to save those who are lost. If you are seeking for him today, he knows your address. He knows where you live. And he comes to offer the gift of salvation. Number two, if you need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, God knows your address. We sang about it today. Bob and I didn't get together on the song service, but we sang about Pentecost today. And if you need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, God knows your address and your desire. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Do you know that the Holy Spirit knew the address of the house where the disciples were waiting for the coming of His presence? The Holy Spirit knew where they would be, and He came to the address where they had dwelt together. The thing that we need to do is really what Bob mentioned this morning. We need to learn to wait on the Lord. We need to learn to tarry in His presence. These disciples had gathered there and they had tarried for days, waiting for the promise, waiting for the coming and the empowering of the Holy Spirit in their lives. Learn to tarry and wait on the Lord. You know, some people get discouraged. They seek the baptism of the Holy Spirit and they get discouraged because they don't speak in tongues right away. I want to just be an inspiration and encouragement to you today. Don't be discouraged and don't give up. Keep seeking it. Expect it to come. In fact, maybe expect it when you least expect it. And when you least expect it, sometimes the Holy Spirit shows up. He comes. My experience with speaking in tongues and my prayer language came suddenly one day upon me when I was all alone. And I've discovered that happens to a lot of people when they are all alone. Suddenly, the Holy Spirit comes upon them and they begin to speak in tongues in unknown languages to them. But the disciples in the upper room, they tarried and they tarried, and suddenly it says, He came. Suddenly He came upon them. The Holy Spirit knows your address. He knows if you are seeking the baptism. Ask Jesus for it. Ask Jesus for Him. Ask Jesus for this incredible gift and then wait for it to happen. He will come to your house and He will fill your temple. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit within you. Do you know that the Holy Spirit wants to fill you more than you want to be filled? He really does. And I believe the key to this whole thing is sometimes we try too hard, but we need to pass the test of obedience, which in this case is tarrying, which in this case is waiting. And when we pass that test and we wait in His presence and say, Lord, I'm not going to give up and let you until you give me this blessing. When you pass the test of obedience, in this case waiting, the Lord Jesus Christ will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. He's the one that does the baptizing, right? That's what John said. Man who's coming after me, whose shoes I am not worthy to unlace, He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, and with fire. And while you are waiting, take heart, be encouraged, because the Holy Spirit knows your address. And He'll show up at your house one day. Or He'll show up in a church service where you're at one day. He knows your address. He knows where you are. And this gift can be yours. Number three, if you need financial blessing, God knows your address. If you are in need of a financial blessing, God knows your address. 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 8 through 14. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, this is Elijah, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little cruse, oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me therefore a little cake first, and bring it unto me. And after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. See, there was a severe famine in the land because of Elijah's word that it wouldn't rain until he said so. God told him to go to Zarephath and that there would be a widow woman there that would feed him. When he came to the house of this widow woman, he asked for a drink of water. And as she was going to get him a drink, he yelled out after her as a kind of a second thought, and bring me a cup and bring me a slice of bread too. But at this request, she turned around and said she didn't have any. All she had was a handful of flour and a little bit of oil. She was going to put it together and bake it for her son and for herself. And that would be it. That would be their last meal. This widow woman honored her faith by doing what Elijah requested of her, though, and she gave of what she had. Understand that she thought she was giving it all to this man of God. This widow woman needed the man of God as much as the man of God needed her. Isn't it neat how God puts people together? And how God begins to work on both ends of a situation at the same time. He works on somebody's life here, and he works on somebody's life here, and he brings them together for his honor and for her and for his glory. But God knew the address of this widow woman, and he directed the man of God to her house, to her address. You know, Jesus said, "Give, and it shall be given unto you." That is the test of obedience in this case. And that is the principle of Scripture. We give tithes and offerings, and God promises to open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that there would not be room enough to contain it all. Jesus said in Luke chapter 6 and verse 38, "Give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom." Really, that is a picture of a man going to buy a sack of grain. He would come with this empty sack, and they would begin to put the grain in the sack. And you know what they would do? In order to get as much grain in that sack as possible, they would pat that grain down in the sack, they would shake it to make room for more, and then they would put more grain in the sack, and they would pat it down, and they would shake it, and finally the grain would fill the sack so full that it would begin to flow out, and the man would hug that grain in the sack, and he'd put it under his coat and hold it against his bosom so he wouldn't lose any of the grain on his way out the store to his way home. That is the picture of how God wants to give up to us. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Put against our bosom, put against our chest. Give and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over. This widow woman gave of what she had. And God certainly blessed her. The cruse of oil would not fail. And the little bit of meal that she had would not waste, would not end until the famine was over. As most of you know, we spent 3.5 years of our ministry lives in South Dakota. And that was the first church I ever pastored was in South Dakota. We moved there in March. No, we moved there in January. In March, Ben was born. We had Josh and Josiah already. And in March, Ben was born, and we went to Madison, South Dakota, and had Ben delivered in the hospital there, born there. At the time we went to South Dakota, the church wasn't exactly honest with me on our salary. And as it turned out, we were making $100 a week. They did provide a parsonage, but $100 a week was not a lot to live on, even in those days. It wasn't all that long ago. And Ben was born, and we wondered, how are we ever going to pay for this doctor bill and this hospital bill? So we waited kind of nervously and anxiously until we got the bills, and we got the doctor's bill, and the doctor waived all the charges. There was not a penny that the doctor was to be owed. And we got the hospital bill, and the hospital bill was, to my understanding, very low, because the total hospital bill was $1,300. But we had absolutely no money saved or set aside. And so the hospital, you know, they asked, how are you going to pay this bill? Well, going to pay it the best I can. How much money do you make a week? $100. How much of $100 can you give toward this hospital bill? I had absolutely no idea how we were going to pay that bill off. But you know that in 13 weeks, we got the entire hospital bill paid off. 13 weeks. You know what my salary was for those 13 weeks? $1,300. And I want you to know that not every penny we made went to the hospital. We would go out to the mailbox, and we'd open up an envelope, and there would be a check in it, or there would be some cash in it. We knew absolutely nobody in South Dakota when we went there. But God knew our address. And I want to encourage you today that God knows your address. And you might be here today and you have a financial need and you wonder, how am I ever going to pay this bill? How am I ever going to pay my debts? God knows where you live. He has promised to meet your needs. He'll never leave you alone. He'll never forsake you. He is faithful. I can stand here today and tell you that God is faithful. One day, Thomas Chisholm went to the medicine cabinet to get his bedridden wife's prescription medicine, but it was empty. He thought he would make her some breakfast, so he opened the refrigerator. It, too, was almost empty. He was penniless, and he was an insurance salesman, but his commission check was not due for another week. On top of that, his rent was due that day. How would you like to be in a situation like that? He decided to go and check his post office box in hope that maybe his paycheck would arrive early. But when he looked in his box, he saw an envelope. But the return address was that of a lawyer. He wished he wouldn't have even looked at his mail. He didn't need legal problems on top of everything else. But he silently prayed for God to have mercy. And when he opened the envelope, tears of joy came down his cheeks. Before he knew of his need, God had already sent the answer. God had already provided. God works on one end of a problem, and at the same time, he's working at the other end. Jacob Stamm and Thomas Chisholm were both Gideons, Bob. Jacob Stamm and his associate were going, and they were crossing off the names of the Gideons who had not paid their, at that time, $5 renewal fee. When they came to Thomas Chisholm, Jacob's assistant said to him, "Do you know who Thomas Chisholm is?" Anybody here know who Thomas Chisholm is? "No," Jacob replied, "I don't know who he is." His associate said, "He is the man that wrote the great hymn, 'Great is thy faithfulness.'" "Well, that song ought to be worth $5. I'll pay his renewal fee," the associate said. Jacob Stamm said, "Well, I guess so. I guess that song should be worth $5. That's my favorite song." But that night, Jacob Stamm could not sleep. He kept thinking about the man who could not pay his renewal fee. He thought, you know, he probably has other financial concerns as well. So he decided that in the morning he would send him a check. The next morning, he asked his associate to find the address for Thomas Chisholm. And the associate found the address, and Jacob Stamm, without telling him why, learned the address and sent him a check. That check was in the envelope that Thomas Chisholm found that morning in his post office box. Thomas quickly went to the drugstore and bought his wife's prescription medicine. He went to the grocery store and he bought some groceries. Finally, he went and paid his rent. In his excitement, he went and told his wife what had happened. She said, "Thomas, you know, you're so good at writing poems and putting things down on paper. Why don't you write something for this occasion?" And he began to recount the mercies of God. Then he wrote a hymn that I hadn't heard of until recently called "The Mercies of God." He wrote, "The mercies of God, what a theme for my song. Oh, I could never number them o'er. They're more than the stars in the heavenly dome or the sands of the wave-beaten shore." The chorus says, "For mercy so great, what return can I make? for mercies so constant and sure. I'll love him, I'll serve him with all that I have, as long as my life shall endure. God knew Thomas Chisholm's address, and I want to encourage you today because God knows your address too. And God is working on your situation. He started working on your problems. He started working on providing even before you knew you would have a problem. God knows your address. He knows what you have need of. And he will supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now listen to me. He might ask you to open up your hand and give first. I don't know why God does this, except for maybe it's a way of testing our faith. But you know that in some areas, the areas that we have need of are the very areas that God asks us to give of first. We give of our need and then he blesses us in return. In fact, then he is free to bless us doubly. He is free to give, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Number four, this might seem like a little bit of a different point to you this morning, but it's one that God laid on my heart. If you are waiting to get married, God knows your address. God knows your address. He knows where you live. Genesis chapter 24, I'm not going to read this whole story in this account. Time is getting by anyway, but just a couple of verses. Verses 40 and 51, he said unto me, the Lord before whom I walk will send his angel with thee and prosper thy way. And thou shalt take a wife for my son of my kindred and of my father's house. And then this servant of Abraham went to find a wife for Isaac, and the Lord led him to Rebekah's house. Behold, Rebekah is before thee. Take her and go, and let her be thy master's son's wife, as the Lord has spoken. Abraham's servant was led to Rebekah's house. Girls and guys, especially girls, God knows your address. Don't get impatient and get ahead of God in this area of your life, because marriage is such a critical decision. And God knows just the right partner. Some girls, they get to be 18, 19, 20 years old, and they're worried about being old maids. If God wants you to marry, he will bring the right person into your life. Debbie and I knew a very godly woman who had a desire to be married. One day, as she waited patiently and faithfully, one day God brought her husband to our church. He was from a Lutheran background. He wasn't a Christian at the time, but he got saved. And she waited patiently to make sure that this was a true conversion. And she waited until he grew in the Lord and he became a godly man himself. It was a fun thing to watch. You could tell he had his eyes on her. She was our organist. And he would come to the church, and pretty soon he would be sitting in the front row organ side, you know, right in front of the organ. It was so fun to watch. She was 35 years old when they got married. But she wanted to be not only a wife, but a mother as well. And the years went by, and she was unable to have any children. And she knew how much we believed in the family, and so she asked Debbie and I one day if we would anoint her with oil. And we did. She came forward, we anointed her with oil, and we asked that God would give them a child. And we prayed that God would bless her. And you know what? God blessed her with a double portion. In making up for lost time, God gave them twins. God knows your address. He knows it. You know, I'm really afraid that many girls marry the wrong man, or a man will marry the wrong woman, because they're afraid that nobody else is going to come around. I've got to marry this person while I have the chance. I want to encourage you to wait for God's best, because God will give the man of God your address. God knows where you live, and he'll give the right person your address, and you will meet in God's time. Number five, the last point today, if you desire to start a ministry, God knows your address. If you desire to start a ministry, God knows your address. 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 19. So he departed thence and found Elisha the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12th. And Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. You know, I know that it is a hard thing to wait on God. I know that it is. In my own life, I've gotten impatient at times. But I want to encourage you to just be faithful in what you are doing and realize that God is watching you. And God is watching your faithfulness, and God is taking into account all of those things that you are learning. And there are many times that we learn things in life that will help us in our ministry later on. Examples are Moses and David. You know, it struck me one day that Moses was 80 years old when he started his ministry. God had to teach him a few things before he would let him start his ministry. God took him to the backside of a desert and he was a shepherd for 40 years. David had this promise that he would be king, and yet that promise took time to be fulfilled, and David was faithful out in the sheepfolds, learning how to lead people. You know, that's so important. Ministers lead. The devil, he always drives you. He drives. But God leads us, and he prepares ministers to lead us. Jesus referred to himself as the good shepherd. If you are looking for some ministry opportunity, find a ministry here while you're waiting. Learn to submit to the authorities in your life until it is time. Do you know that Jesus wanted to begin his ministry when he was 12 years old? But his parents told him, it's not time yet. And so Jesus waited until he was 30. The Son of God waited until he was 30 years old to start his ministry. And by the time he started his ministry, he only had 3 years to get everything done. And yet Jesus looked back on that and he said, it is finished. All that God gave him to do, he was able to accomplish as he submitted to the authorities in his life. We have a tendency to get ahead of God. We might miss the man of God when he does come calling. If we get ahead of God, we might miss the man of God. We might miss the call of God in our lives. The precise call that he wants to give us. Do you know that Elisha had to stay at home until the man of God showed up? What was he doing? He was out there plowing in his father's fields when the man of God showed up. God knows your address, and he will send the man of God to you when it is time. Some people say that, I've heard a lot of this lately. When I went to chalk class, I was one of the older people there. And a lot of the young kids, I want to be in ministry, but I don't feel called to go to seminary or Bible school. You know what's interesting to me in the story of Elisha? At this time, there was a Bible school. There was the school of the prophets. But God did not choose his successor, Elijah's successor, from that school. And I'm not saying that Bible college or college is bad. I'm just saying that if God tells you to stay home, God knows your address and God knows where you're at. If God calls you to be faithful on the family farm, you stay on the family farm. And God will have a ministry prepared for you. If God calls you to go to Bible college, you go to Bible college. But if God calls you to stay home, he knows your address. He knows whether you're at Bible college or at home. He knows where you are. And he will fulfill the desires and the plans and the dreams and the goals for your life. The point is this, God knows your address. You might be here today and you might have something, you might have a need in an area that I have not touched on this morning. This is by no means is not an exhaustive list. You might have a need different from what I mentioned this morning, but I want to encourage you today. I want you to take heart. Because God knows your address. Do you know that the all-knowing, all-powerful, unchanging, merciful, loving, caring God knows your address? The God of this universe knows where you live. And he will call you. And he will visit you at the appointed time. You need to be ready. You need to be there when he comes calling. Could I have your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning? Maybe you're here today and you need salvation. You need salvation. Jesus is passing by this morning. Jesus is passing by. You can be saved this very day. Jesus is calling on you. Would you surrender to that call? Would you give in? Would you say, Jesus, as you're passing by, would you stop at me and give me salvation and eternal life? Maybe you're here today and you need the baptism in the Holy Spirit. God knows your address. The Holy Spirit is here. Jesus, the giver of the Holy Spirit, is here. Would you ask Him, Jesus, give me the baptism in the Holy Spirit? Maybe you're here and you have a financial need. You need a financial blessing. Would you say, Lord, meet my need? Maybe you're here and there's concerns about getting married. Would you just say, Lord, I will rest in your will and for my life, and I will trust you in this difficult area. And maybe you feel called to a ministry. Would you be willing to say, Lord, I'll wait. I'll wait until you make the way clear, until you send the man of God to throw his mantle on me. More often than not, we get ahead of God rather than behind Him. But I know thy abode. The Lord said, I know your address. I know where you live. Is there anybody here? You say, Pastor, I need to be saved today. Would you pray for me? I need to be saved. As Jesus is passing by, I need a salvation experience today. Is there anybody here? Anybody? For my sake, so that I can pray with you. Is there anybody here? Pastor, would you be praying for me? I'm seeking the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And I would like this gift for my life. And I'd like to speak with new tongues as the Spirit gives utterance. Would you raise your hand up and down? Amen. Others with needs this morning, we trust that the Lord will meet those needs. Just begin to focus on God's mercy and thank Him for His mercy, and you'll find that He is faithful. At the end of your life, you'll be able to look back and you say, God was faithful. God was faithful to me. Father, we thank you for those that did raise their hands, and those that have their hands raised in their heart. They need a visitation from you. And I pray, Lord, that as you pass by today, you would not pass them by, but you would stop where they live. And that, Lord, you would communicate to them this morning. And that you would bless, and that you would meet needs, and that you would baptize with the Holy Spirit, and that you would give assurance and grace to wait and to tarry in your presence. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Maybe we could sing, Great is Thy Faithfulness, while the communion emblems are being passed out. Page number? 45. But the men, would you come first and let's get ready to pass out the communion. I'm going to ask the men to just go ahead and pass this out, and we'll have a time of prayer. After you've been served, feel free to take communion today, but do not partake until all have been served, and then we will partake together. Page number 45, Great is Thy Faithfulness.
Great is Thy Faithfulness, O God, my Father. Thank you.
Verse for you, pardon for sin and a peace that endureth, thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow, blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Reminds me of pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Great is his faithfulness. Morning by morning we see his new mercies. We need to thank him for those mercies. We need to thank him. We need to remember those mercies. The mercy of the cross. The reason why we are having communion today is because of the love and the compassion and mercy of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know that he not only knows our address now, but he knows our address of eternity. And Jesus is busy preparing a mansion place for us to dwell in. And someday we will live eternally, no more moving from that address. We will be there forever and ever in the Father's house. Jesus made it possible with his death upon the cross. The Apostle Paul said, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Bob, would you ask the blessing on the bread?
Father, we thank you for this time that we're able to commemorate the breaking of the body, the stripes, the things that were born. Thank you for that which was achieved.
Thank you, Jesus.
We thank you that you now sit at the right hand of the Father interceding for us. Bless each one of us. Thanks on this emblem. Help us to remember those mercies, those things that provided for us. In Jesus' name.
Let's partake of the bread together.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the provision of your body. Lord, for the healing from your body. Lord, may we appropriate that to our lives today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the brand new testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come." Rex, would you ask the blessing on the cup today?
Precious Lord, we just thank you for shedding your blood for us, Lord. Yes. Saving us with your mercy and your grace.
Jesus.
Thank
you, Jesus.
We just praise you, Lord God, going to the cross for us, Lord. Bearing all the sin, bearing all the weight, and then saving us, Lord Jesus.
Let's drink the cup together. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, thank you for the provision of cleansing and salvation in your blood. Oh, precious is your blood. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Would you pass your cups to the center, please? And then we'll pick them up. Let's stand as we sing this chorus together. Praise the Lord. George Lewis, would you dismiss us in prayer and ask the blessing on the food and fellowship downstairs too, please?
Oh, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, you are awesome. We rejoice in you today, Lord. We just rejoice in you. Lord, thank you that you have come, that we could partake of your blood and of your body. Thank you, Lord, by your blood we are cleansed and made whole. Bless and reign. Be with us through this day, Lord, through this week. Give us strength to stand for you. Give us wisdom to know how to stand for you. Lord, as we leave this place here, upstairs, and go down to fellowship together more and have more communion, Lord, in your presence, give us strength with that food. Strengthen our body. Lord, draw us closer to you, closer to one another. Bless that time, bless that food, Lord, and the hands that prepared it all. Thank you, Father. We just ask these things in the precious, precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.